Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everybody, and welcome to our latest House Sports podcast. It is good to know that we cannot have a podcast without some kind of technical difficulty. I swear, you know, I'm sitting here at the controls. I listen to Howard Stern, right? Howard Stern, long-time professional, been in the radio business for 40 years, and I sit there and I listen to his show, and they're constantly having technical problems every episode, and here we are. We have this little blog podcast, and I get frustrated by these problems of the site not working and logging me out at the last second. And so I guess if Howard Stern has problems, we're allowed to have problems. Jim, are you on the phone with me?
I could hear you. I don't know if you could hear me.
Unmuted and everything. All right. Well, at least that's not a problem.
Yeah, because Howard Stern has problems. He gets $100 million a year, so his problems are more.
If he has problems, we get a problem.
Yeah,
but it's
exactly.
Like every week there's something. We need to find another platform or something. My friend Hernan, he ran Fox, part of Fox TV for a while, and he's just started a podcast company. So I got to look into that. We got to do something different. But anyhow, hi everybody. This is our latest Outsport podcast, the first one of March 2016. It is the month of madness. I'm sure we'll be talking about the NCAA basketball tournaments as they approach. We at least will have one out gay male player in the tournament, and I'm not sure how Purdue's doing, if Bree's going to be there, but hopefully we'll have some women to talk about too. Today we have Matt Money Cage, Matt Money or Matt the Money. I see both in different places, so I'm not clear which one it is. Pro wrestler who's out. Coming on. He's going to join us, what, Jim, in a couple minutes?
He's supposed to be calling in a few minutes.
Okay. All right, good. And by the way, can I just say, I don't want to dwell on politics, but we've talked in the past about politics being a sport and whether we should cover it or not as a sport. This might be the year to cover it as a sport, because this is, love him or hate him, Donald Trump is the most crazy, entertaining thing I've ever seen in politics, and every time I watch him, I just find myself laughing. It's just wildly entertaining to me. So I don't want to get too much into politics, but I was watching this Mitt Romney talk today, and then Donald Trump gets on and says he's irrelevant. I'm not going to talk about him. Then he talks about him for a half hour. It's endless entertainment. I'm sure you hate Donald Trump. Do you find it at least entertaining?
Oh, I find it highly entertaining. I wouldn't vote for a president in a million years, but it is. I mean, I found myself watching the whole thing because I wanted to see what he wanted to say about Romney. And Ricky Gervais, the comedian, tweeted out, "I wish I could develop a character as good as Donald Trump." I mean, the guy is so shameless, but he's so funny because nobody could out insult him. I mean, Romney goes. Romney speaks for 15 minutes, and Trump goes, and he went on and on and on. And Trump's critique of Romney was longer than Romney's speech. But Trump doesn't get the irony. It's funny. I mean, the BBC World News, which covers, of course, the world, I said they never cover speeches unless they're nominating speeches or maybe, you know, on primary night. I just flipped it over,
sure.
And they're covering the speech live because that's the kind of draw this guy is. I mean, as I said, I would never vote for him, but he has been a brilliant politician. I mean, he's able to get more free media than, you know, I mean, it's amazing. Everything he does is covered live. It's covered in full. And he's just I found myself laughing because he says stuff that nobody, like, everything reduced to like a sport, like you said. He's a choke artist. He's a loser. It
right.
doesn't matter what the content of the critique is. It's simply he's a loser. He's a choke artist. I mean, and so it becomes like a locker room thing. You know, like a guy flashing his ring. You know, here's my ring. That's my answer to anything you say about me, and that's Trump. Look at the poll.
But and then he mentioned a CNN poll that has him with 49% of the Republican support now.
Yeah,
was
he had 49.
Accurate?
The other guy in second place at 19, and third place at 16.
I mean, it's what is becoming also entertaining is watching the Republican quote unquote establishment lose its collective mind as its grip on this nomination falls apart. I mean, watching the Republican establishment react over the next couple of weeks is going to be entertaining as well, and he's gonna be the nominee.
Him the nomination somehow at the convention, it would be a total war, which would be the best entertainment. I mean, they're the Washington Generals, and he's the Harlem Globetrotters. I mean, they look so inept. I mean, they're like five steps behind. It's some of the stuff they're saying they should have been saying 6 months ago, but it is unbelievably inept how this, whatever the establishment is kind of handling them. They have no idea what to do with them. And anytime you attack him, I mean, Rubio – I thought as soon as he started insulting him personally, I said, okay, Rubio's going to go down because you can't out – he's the master. You can't beat the master in the insult game. And all it would do was make Rubio look really small to me, you know, like a fifth grader, you know, mocking a classmate, and Trump just calls him Little Marco.
Yeah.
And it was like the perfect rejoinder, Little Marco, like patting him on the head and sending him off to, you know, have his chocolate milk. So, yeah, it's highly entertaining.
That debate on Fox News tonight is going to get a crazy, crazy rating because everyone is dying to see what he says next.
Well, we've been talking to the LA Times. What is the rating for the first, assuming it's Hillary and Trump, what is that rating going to be for Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump for president? I mean,
wow.
50 million people, six. I mean, it's going to be, it has to set a record. It's just going to be, who's not going to tune in just to see what he says and what she says in response?
Well, we'll both be tuning in. I got to believe that Matt, is it Matt Money Cage or is it Matt the Money Cage? I still don't know which one it is.
Either or works, honestly.
But which one do you prefer?
I think Matt the Money Cage rolls off the tongue better. Like usually
Matt the Money
people,
Cage. Matt Money
I get one of I get one of three. It's usually either the Money Matt Cage, Money Matt Cage, or Matt the Money Cage. So I guess the only thing that I'm missing is Matt Cage Money. So, but yeah.
It's like the Donald. The Donald goes by just the Donald, and you're just the money. I got it. You should just go by the Matt.
It works.
Then it'll solve everything.
If I just went by the Matt,
it
would sound really.
Are you going to be watching the debate tonight? As like we are, out of sheer entertainment.
You know, I think that I'm going to wind up passing. But because I have a plethora of people on my social media that will be watching it, I think that following it via tweets and Facebook will probably be enough entertainment for me so I can get the live play-by-play and commentary on what's going on.
It's like Howard Stern used to say that like his ratings among people who hated him were higher than the ratings among people who liked him, like people who hated him, more of them watched, more of them listened than the people who actually liked what he was saying because people wanted to be shocked. And you're right, my Facebook page like explodes every time Donald Trump is on. Anyhow, enough of Donald Trump and the Republicans. Hi, Matt. First of all, thank you for joining us. This is Matt, the Money Cage, the professional wrestler who came out publicly. Was it last June, right?
Yes, sir. June 18th.
And you thought, oh, I'm gonna be doing this. It'll be a blip on the radar screen, and it became a whole heck of a lot more than that. Just kind of like, what's the last year been like?
It's been crazy for sure. You're absolutely right. I didn't expect it to become quote unquote a thing. but it became a thing and then some. Things have definitely died down since last summer. Kind of gone back to a semi-normal life, but things have been pretty awesome. I've been able to do a few things and be recognized in a light that I wasn't recognized in before because of my coming out. So, like, I recently did my first public speaking appearance at a high school for a LGBT youth group, and that was really awesome. And so now I'm at a point where I recognize that even with my minimal, I guess, status as a celebrity of some kind, which I don't really view it in that light, but other people do, but if I'm able to use that and be able to be a positive role model or, you know, help someone in a positive light, then I definitely want to, because we're in a day and age now where a lot of people don't think that they have someone that they can look up to or talk to about their issues as a, you know, gay, lesbian, what have you, or being in the closet or whatever the case may be. And, you know, I've been there. So if I can do that and help out, you know, that's what I want to do.
Matt, talk about the reaction within the sport, because you're in a sport / entertainment that, you know, you are basically wearing a, you know, a brief, and you're grappling with another man in a brief, and there's clearly homoerotic tendencies, and there's, you know, in the past we've had wrestlers, you know, or you know, other sort of athletes in close fighting like that, kind of make it sound like they don't want to be with another gay man, but you have not experienced any of that from your competitors, right? Everyone's been pretty cool with it.
Correct.
And so talk a bit about that whole dynamic and how they reacted when they heard, and, you know, what has it been in some ways more liberating for everybody because you're not hiding anymore?
Definitely been liberating to me above all else. But, yeah, I didn't receive any negative from my colleagues, you know, my coworkers and everything. Everyone has been very, very positive and helpful, and I mean, it's not at all what I expected, and I didn't necessarily expect you know, everyone to like turn against me or anything like that, but you just never know how people are going to respond. And I was blown away by the fact that I received no negative, you know, backlash or feedback or anything from people that I consider friends, you know, or even just acquaintances or anything. I got so many messages from, even still now to this day, like it's been, it's almost a year, you know, it's coming up on it, which is insane to think about. But, you know, even still now, I'll get messages from people that, I don't know if they were too afraid to message me then or if they just now found out, but I just like about 2 weeks ago got a message from someone that I haven't seen in couple of years that was, you know, very positive, and was like, hey man, you know, I haven't seen you in a while, but, you know, congratulations, and I'm proud of you, and, you know, if you have any issues, you can always count on me to have your back, type of thing. And it's definitely uplifting to know that not just my business, you know, in pro wrestling, but just life in general, you know, the way the world is, that we are finally starting to, you know, come around to where it's not an issue, where people are far more accepting, you know, even if they were raised a certain way, where they realize, you know, hey, this wasn't a choice that, you know, these people made, you know, people didn't choose to be straight. That's just how they were. Just like, you know, I didn't choose to be gay. I just am. And I feel like the ignorance that some people might have had, is starting to dwindle because people are far more accepting now. And by no means are we at 100%, you know, acceptance levels and things of that nature. But I feel like we're definitely a lot further along now in the year 2016 than we were, you know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago even. So kind of awesome. And as far as my involvement in wrestling with it, I'm very happy to be a representative of, you know, the LGBT community, and knowing that I can be a positive role model and know that I can still do my job and not have any of my colleagues feel like I'm trying to take advantage of them in the ring just because we're half naked. You know, I'm not involved in wrestling because I want to pick up guys. I'm involved in wrestling because it's something I love to do, and it's something that I've loved since I was 4 years old.
So something that you just said, I want to talk a bit about, because it's the drumbeat that I keep hearing from LGBT activists and other people as proof positive of why athletes need to stay in the closet, and that is we're not at 100% yet. And I keep being told, and athletes keep being told, how dangerous sports are to come out, how homophobic the black community is, how much homophobia has a grip on rural communities in the United States. Yet over and over and over again, we keep seeing athletes come out and be accepted by some of the very people who said the most homophobic things in their life before they did. And I'm starting to become frustrated with this constant drumbeat about how homophobic sports are, because people keep pointing to those few percentages that continue to harbor resentment against gay people and not focusing on all of the support and all of the acceptance and all of the positivity in sports that there is. And I'm wondering if you, when before you came out, if that drumbeat about those few percent that didn't make it 100% acceptance, if that was part of why you were afraid of coming out, and how does it even matter to you as a gay man at this point that it's not 100%?
Honestly, no. Like, there was a lot of factors to me staying in the closet as long as I did, and it wasn't just with my profession, but also, you know, personally, because one of the biggest reasons for me was just rejection. You know, my friends are my crutches in my life. You know, I always say that my friends are my crutches. When I need someone to turn to lean on for, you know, emotional support, physical support, whatever, I can always turn to my friends. I know they have my back. And having a feeling that you might lose a friend based off of something that you can't help is, you know, awful, and a lot of us have, you know, dealt with that. So that was honestly, like, it had nothing to do with wrestling, like, because wrestling won't last forever for me. You know, I won't be a pro wrestler forever, but I will be gay forever. So, and I definitely was afraid with that. And, you know, I mean, I would be lying if I said that I wasn't afraid of, you know, that small percentage as well, or worried about them. But anyone who says that an athlete shouldn't come out because of the way that certain, you know, a small percentage of people might view it, I feel that's very ignorant. I feel it's asinine, because none of us, no human should have to hide who they are based off of what someone else thinks. And it's very unfortunate that so many of us have had to, and so many of us still are, you know, hiding that. And it's unfair, quite honestly. And I feel that what a person does behind closed doors in their bedroom, who they look at on the street, who they kiss in their private life and what have you, it means absolutely nothing to what you do in your line of work. If you play basketball, who you're attracted to should not determine your success levels on the court. You know, in my case, what I do behind closed doors should not determine how well I entertain my fans. And I feel that it's very ignorant for anyone to say that someone should stay in the closet because, you know, X amount of people in this particular group thinks that it's wrong. I think that's unfair. And I don't think anyone should. By no means am I telling, you know, dictating people's lives or expecting to by saying, hey, come out, it'll be 100% okay, because the reality is that's not the case. no story is the same.
But again, you know, I keep hearing the fallback about not 100%. Of course, you can't force anybody out of the closet, but we keep saying I can't guarantee you it's going to be 100%. And for me, the message should be I can't guarantee you it's going to be 100%, but that 99% is going to make up for that 1%. And we just focus so much on it not being 100% support when I don't know an athlete who's come out and it wasn't an unbelievably positive experience, even if it wasn't 100%.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, to me, is, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, I feel that the positives definitely outweigh the negatives. And I know it's the very cliche statement, but if a person that you were worried about, you know, not having your back anymore doesn't have your back when you come out, then that means that you shouldn't have had them. You know, you don't want that person in your life anyway. And everyone makes mistakes and everyone, you know, does things that can be forgiven, you know? Like, if you came out and a friend didn't support your decision at that exact moment, you know, you never know. They might come around years later, and you can still have that friend. But my view on it is this, and this is in life in general, not even just with homosexuality or what have you, but there's nothing that is 100%. You know what I mean? Like, everything does have an exception. So I feel like to get to that level of complete acceptance within our community, you have to be comfortable with yourself and just knowing, you know what, I am 100%. Because once I came out, I didn't feel like I had to hide anymore. I didn't feel like I had to lie or you know, be secretive about my private life. And it's not that I'm throwing it in everyone's face nonstop. You know, and putting my personal business, my private business in front of everyone's life, in front of their eyes, I feel at 100% now because I don't feel like I'm faking anymore. I don't feel like, you know, when my friends are talking about, oh man, I went out with this girl, blah, 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 I don't have to say, yeah, I'm talking to this girl too, when in actuality I'm talking to a guy. I can just say, hey, I went on a date with this guy last night and it sucked. It was a terrible date, you know? And I feel like that will allow us as a community to get closer to where we want to be. It's just being 100% with ourselves.
Yeah, but I think that's also part of the point is your straight friends do advertise their sexuality all the time by mentioning girls. So they are sort of, in essence, being very public about their sexual orientation, but because it's considered the norm, nobody thinks of it that way. But if a gay person mentions a same-sex, say, date, because it's so unique to them, all of a sudden it becomes an issue. You know what I mean? Like, straight people don't have to come out the way gay people have to come out, even though they actually come out without anyone realizing the first time they mention a girlfriend or something.
Oh, no, I mean, I agree with you. And when I say throw it in people's faces, I don't mean, like, the talking in regular conversation or anything like that. I mean more of the, I'm not going to, it would be like this. A straight person can talk about what they do. You know, I went on a date with a girl. But, well, that they wouldn't say I went on a date with a girl. They say, I went on a date last night. You know, I don't say, oh, I went on a date with a guy now. I would just say, I also went on a date, and people just know. You know, but I don't go around and, you know, I treat what I do in my life now as though it's normal to me, because it is. And it allows my group of friends, the people that I associate with, to just feel normal too. You know, like, at first it probably was a little bit difficult for them because it was new to them as well. But at the same time, it was new to me because I was in the closet for so long. So, you know, I did feel that sense of, you know, how do I go about my life? You know, how do I talk about what I'm doing to my friends and share my stories with them? But then I realize I do it just like they do. You know, it's normal. And that's where the 100%, you know, being 100% with yourself, in my opinion, comes into play. Because if you're just normal and we are normal people, just like everyone else, if you just treat your life and what you do regularly, other people will view it regularly. And that's where, the, in my opinion, the acceptance and tolerance and all of those things come in the play.
Have you heard from any gay wrestlers? Has anybody reached out to you to talk?
I have had a few wrestlers. No one in WWE or anything like that. But I've had some people message me that have told me that I have given them a motivation to maybe come out themselves, or inspire them in some way, or make them realize that it's okay, you know, it's accepted. And it was very humbling, because, like I said, I never expected it to become anything like that. I had no clue. I wanted to share my story, definitely, but it's humbling to me. It's very, very humbling is the buzzword, I guess. And, I'm very
proud
of
those. What does that mean? What does it mean, it's humbling?
It's like, to be told that I've inspired someone based off of something that I just did to get weight off of my back, get weight off of my shoulders, it's crazy to me, because I feel like people don't realize the power sometimes words hold. And for someone to tell me, I'm in the same boat as you, or I'm a similar boat as you, and I'm living with this fear, but knowing that your career or your life has not been affected in a negative light, makes me feel that I can do the same. It's awesome. Like, it's an awesome feeling.
Quickly, what about fans? Do you interact with fans now who know you're gay and sort of think it's really cool? And has that got you a new fan base?
I have definitely attained some new fans based off of it. People that probably did not watch wrestling to begin with, but they might just pay attention closely to me. but the fan base that I have has been phenomenal. Since I came out, I'll never forget the day that I came out. I posted my post on a Thursday, and then I had a show the next day on a Friday, and I was so nervous. And I went to the venue, and on this particular show, I was portraying a villain. I was portraying the bad guy, and I just remember thinking, like, man, they might heckle me. I don't know how they're going to respond. And, everything was normal. Everything was as it went to plan, as I expected it to. And then after the show, just like the overwhelming love from the fans, they understand that I'm portraying a role. So they boo me during the show. But afterwards, there were so many people that were like, way to go. I'm proud of you. And, hopefully you're happy now and things like that. And even since then, I have fans that are, always asking, hey man, how are you doing? Is everything good with you? And, it's just awesome because, especially in my line of work, fans can be very, very ruthless. They say very mean and derogatory things sometimes. And I was fully prepared and braced myself for that impact. And it's just, honestly, I've only had one instance where a fan said something extremely derogatory to me, and I was in the ring and I just responded with something that I thought would make me laugh, if I was on the other foot, if the shoe was on the other foot, and it made the crowd laugh. So, and then everyone
whether you're gay or not, the fans are going to yell at you if they don't like you, right? And I'm sure that they yell homophobic stuff at whether they're gay or straight. But Matt, we appreciate you joining us. That's all the time we have this week. And check out, we'll be reposting on social media Matt's story, and so you can get to know him better and follow him on Facebook and Twitter. Enjoy the wrestling match tonight in Detroit, and we will talk to you next week.